Now, today we're looking at a biggie. I didn't save it for last for any other reason. As a matter of fact, I didn't think I'd preach on it, but the Lord laid it firmly on my heart. So pop it up, Roger. We're going to look today at, here it goes, lightning flashing, power struggles in the church. Satan just loves it when we want the power. We want the authority. We want to run things, baby. That's the way it is. We're going to look at it today. Let's see what it is. See what we got today. We started out on the series when we looked at divisions and we saw DC. That's a power source. Direct current. Direct current. Say DC with me. DC. One more time. DC. And we saw two things about DC. We saw in the first message in the series on divisions that Satan's DC is divide and conquer. So that's what Satan wants in this church. He wants us to divide. He wants us to conquer one another. He wants to be in each other's face. That's what he wants. Be divided. But Jesus, look at it, Jesus, DC, is divine conqueror. Amen? We are divine conquerors through Jesus Christ our Lord. He is everything. We're down here on the floor. We're humble before him. And he is our power source. So what powers you? And you're gonna see by the end of the message, I believe you're going to know which outlet you plugged into. And we ought to want help today, friend. Instead of us denying that we've got these power issues or power struggles, especially as it relates to church ministry work, you ought to try to get some help today and some healing. Let's see where you plug in. What plug in? Are you into DC, divide and conquer? You want to be a troublemaker? Say. Quite frankly, I don't like troublemakers. Amen? There's plenty of churches, I mean, you can go to all through this community, they just love having you as a troublemaker. I don't want you. Amen? Tell you what, when I coach ball, I wouldn't want some whiner, somebody that's causing trouble on my team. Get off! That's what I tell them. And their mama would cry. Big deal. We're here to win. Amen? That's the way I coached. That's the way it was. Listen, we've got to be on the same page, man, not fighting one another, not fussing one another. I thank God I can give a message like this and have this kind of liberty because we don't have that problem. Let's praise the Lord. Amen? Come on. Praise the Lord. Amen. That don't mean it ain't coming down the pike, though. So we got to be prepared. DC, I want to be plugged into Jesus. So who powers you or what powers you this morning? Let's go now, and we're going to try to be in warp here. There's something about church and its power that make people want it. Now, don't you think this through. There's something about church and its power that make people want it. You might wonder, who wrote the message? I did. It's about 22 years of experience. Listen, which isn't a ton, but 22 years in the pastorate, that's what I've done, okay? There's something about church and its power that make people want it. Now, look at it. Keep moving. Now, that can be a good thing, and that can be a bad thing. It can be a good thing that there's something about church and church power or whatever that makes people want it. It can be a good thing. For example, look what Jesus said in Matthew 5:16. Let your light so shine before men that they do what? May see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Amen? Keep popping, Raj. If people want what we have in this community, if people want what we have at Fellowship Church because of our radically changed lives through Jesus Christ our Lord, then amen. Amen? That's a good thing. That's why we need to let our light shine. We need to walk in the power of the Spirit. We need to walk in this community, not looking down on people, serving people, loving people, helping people, letting people see there's a change in our life. I talk to people on a regular basis. I've talked to some today already. You are struggling. You are struggling. You have been saved, and you're starting to read your Bible, and you're starting to see the things that you're doing is now uncomfortable. That's a good thing. Amen? It's a good thing because you're a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things are passed away. All things become new. And as your acquaintances, as your friends start to see you're not the man you used to be, the woman you used to be, the young person you used to be, listen to me, that's going to be a powerful testimony in this community. That's a good thing. People ought to want that. Amen? That's great, but keep looking. Watch it. We're going somewhere. But the flip side is this. And really hang in here with me. The flip side is this. If they, or we, or you, or me, want power from the church, through the church, or at the church, because of our service, or our giving, or whatever, pop it up. That's a bad thing. If you want power to be given you at this church or some kind of authority, a position or whatever, because you do something or because you give something or because you're this or you're that, friend, that's not what it's about. We serve the Lord because we love the Lord. Are you hearing me today? You need to really get in your noggin that anything you get on this planet is temporary. And we're laying up rewards in heaven. We need to be real careful about our motive and why we serve. Keep moving. If it's about, watch it, position, if it's about prestige, if it's about popularity or persuasion or politics or pride, it's a bad thing. Y'all with me? You hearing me? All that's a bad thing. If that's why you want position or you want to have some kind of service opportunity in the body of Christ. Because I want people to think I'm popular. I want people to look at me. I want to be in the decision-making process. That's a problem. It's a bad thing. Here's how power plays or power grabs or power kicks smell to God. Say it with me. Hit it right. Pew-wee. Can we try one more time? Pew-wee. It stinks. And I know this is ugly, but I don't care. This will be on radio. It's great. It helps people. Since I started this series, I've had people coming to my office from other churches. I had another one this week. Came to see me this week. They're struggling. They're hurting in their church. They're dealing with some church hurt issues. And, you know, this might hit you upside the head. That's okay. It's a good thing to get help. Amen? It's a good thing to get some healing today. I dare say there's some of you in the audience today, or you're going to be listening on radio. You were a direct result of a church maybe splitting and causing major problems. And it wasn't because of godly and a righteous thing. It was because of an attitude. It was because of arrogance. It was because of politics. It wasn't pride. It wasn't because you were standing for the things of God. And that's a shame to God. It's a disgrace. It stinks. Okay? He doesn't like that. He doesn't want that. Trust me, I know what it is to stand up and say, that's the end of the line. I quit or I stop. I'm not going to go that road anymore. I know what it is to do that. I've done it, okay? And it's hard to go through some of those times where you stand for the Lord, but you need to make sure your motive is right, because it can cause a real problem. Why does this smell to God, this power thing? Why does it smell to God? Say it with me. Because God is big on... Help me now. Come on. God is big on God. God ain't big on you. He ain't big on Gary. Okay? My position is on the floor at His feet. That's where He wants Gary Clark. Right down there. That's where He wants you and me. Listen, second thing, pop it up. Why does this smell to God? Because God wants all the glory. He wants all the glory. Well, can't I have just a little bit? No. Because you're not Him. He's God. He runs things. He controls you. He is holy, holy, holy. Last time I checked, we ain't telling you that. Amen? That I'm holy in Jesus. Well, fine. Wait till you get there before you start spouting that off, all right? Amen? Come on, let's keep looking. We're getting somewhere. A powerful attitude, this attitude of wanting power is this. It's pitiful. If I want to have power, I want to have control, I want to do this, it's pitiful. Keep looking. It is pathetic. Why? Because we're puny, man. We're puny. We're nothing. We're just a grain of sand, man. And we're here for just a blip on the screen. Let's make sure while we're here and our blip gives glory to Jesus Christ. Amen? And that's not to want that. Power struggles. Let's keep looking. We're moving. I want you to look at Acts 8 this morning. Now we're going to look at three different passages of Scripture today. We'll start out in this one. This is a fast one. Look at this story. Acts 8 verse 9. There was a certain man called Simon. Now this isn't Simon Peter. This is Simon the sorcerer. Which before time in the same city he used sorcery and he bewitched the people. Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one. Keep looking. Then Simon himself believed also, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and the signs that these guys were doing. Then they laid their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. And when Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands that the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money, saying, give me this what? Say it with me. Power. That on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost. But Peter said unto him, your money perish, because you thought that the gift of God could be purchased with money. Thou hast neither what? Part nor lot in the matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent, therefore, of this thy wickedness, and pray, God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven, for I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness and the bond of iniquity. Then answered Simon and said, pray ye to the Lord for me that none of these things which you've spoken come upon me. What do we see right here in this little power story? Watch it real fast. Watch it with me. It seems like this Simon the sorcerer dude, it seems that he got saved, doesn't it? And he was baptized. But watch what happened. He saw what they did. He saw what the apostles were doing. He saw how that they were doing miracles and ministering and what have you. And guess what? Next one. He offered them money, especially for that thing where they could lay hands on people and they could get the Holy Ghost. He offered them money for that. And he wanted that power. He wanted that power. That can be a story in the Bible as old as the hills. But I'm telling you what, it's as new as today. That still happens in churches all over the place. Somebody gets saved, they see what's going on there, and they want the power. They want the control. They want to run the ministry. They want to have all kinds of this, that, the others to do in the ministry. I'm all for serving. I think people need to serve the Lord. You know what we have at Fellowship? We have volunteers. It's what we have. We have a couple of staff members, but we have a lot of volunteers. I call them my volunteer staff. I just don't pay them, amen? But they're staff to me, and I love them with all my heart. But let me tell you something, friend. The positions that we have here at Fellowship are servants. And I know the Bible talks about deacons and things like that, but guess what? We don't even know what a deacon is, quite frankly, friend. You know what deacon means? It's not even a word you use. You don't go out and say, I deacon today. The word is serve. And guess what? We got lots of them. We got lots of them in this church. People that serve the Lord. People that are doing for the Lord. I've never seen anything like what we've had here at Fellowship. I have seen people that have worked their fingers to the bone. And not only have they worked, they have stayed together. It's a phenomenon. Did you know 50% of the people will leave you in the first year when you start a new church? But there's something about the servers here at Fellowship. Oh, yes, some come, some go, some move. That happens. But it's amazing. I've seen an amazing stickability of our people here at Fellowship Church. Let's praise the Lord for them. Come on. And guess what? We didn't elect them. God did. And God wants to elect you. He wants you to get involved. He wants you to be a part of the service of Jesus Christ. Well, I can't be that. I can't. Yes, you can. Assume the spirit of humility, and you can do mighty things for God. I'm telling you. Keep looking. Let's see what we got. Peter said to this guy, your money perish with you. Keep looking. Fast. He said, the gift of God cannot be purchased. You can't have this power thing. You have no part, Peter says. He goes on. He says, repent and ask for forgiveness. And he said these two things. He said, you are bitter, and he said, you are full of iniquity. Peter was all over him. Keep looking. We are to, stay with me, we are to serve the Lord with gladness and we're to do it with humility and honor. Can you read that with me? Read it with me. We are to serve the Lord with, and we're to do it with humility, and it is an honor to serve the Lord. Amen? If you get off of that humility and you get off of that honor, you're getting over here into a power play, and you better watch it, because God will remove His Spirit and His blessing from your life. Peter didn't monk around, did he say? Peter jumped right off the ball on that one, didn't he? Because he knew this was bad stuff, man. Keep looking. He said two things, and this is personal. All of this message is quite personal to me. The two words bitterness and iniquity certainly ring true of folks who I have personally seen and known who had an unusually strong desire for church power. What am I saying? I'm saying, over my years of service, when I saw that somebody, and it doesn't even mean it has a thing to do with me, just from the grandstands watching, somebody that has an unusual sense of wanting power or authority in church or wanting to be in charge, I have just watched over the years many of their lives crash and burn. I've watched them hop from church to church to church to church. Pitiful. They just go to where they fail and they go somewhere else and want to have the power there. It's a pitiful thing. I'm going to give you a little story. I always get in trouble when I give stories. They're all true. Here we go. I remember years ago, our church secretary. This was a long time ago, so none of y'all know who this is. Isn't that great? It's a long time ago. This church secretary walked into the senior pastor's office, of which I was not the senior pastor, walked in the senior pastor's office and was madder than a hornet. She said, "Joy," that's my wife, "used my typewriter." She was red-faced. She was angry. Well, guess what? Joy did the financial end of the ministry. And guess what? 30 people needed their paychecks. And guess what? Her typewriter was broke. So guess what? Joy used that other typewriter before the days of computer so that the people could get their checks. Is that a good thing that people get paid, say? Let me tell you something. And ma'am, if you're still in the community and you're listening, what you did was stupid. Okay? Guess who bought the typewriter that she used? Someone tell me. The church. So often when we want power, what we're saying is we want territory. We are territorial. We want control. And I don't know if the Lord's called me to this ministry or not, to just keep talking like this to try to help you in your life. I don't know. But listen, it's not about control. And I'm getting off the message just a smidgen right here. Some of you might think, well, Pastor Clark, you have all the control there at Fellowship Church. Let me tell you something. This is a job I've been called to do. It's not something I do part-time. This is my life. And you're right, I make a lot of decisions. But in the big scheme of things, big deal. You know what I'm saying? Listen, it's not that big a deal, quite frankly. Decisions I make, so many of them are normal decisions. Do we pay the light bill? Yeah. It's crazy. Listen to me, what I'm saying is, this is a calling on my life to do what I do as a minister. And some of you might like, well, that ain't the way we did it up north. I've told you many times, that's not where you are you? You know, I know fellowship's a little unusual, but I challenge you. I'll challenge you, and you can come see me in the office if you'd like to. I challenge you to come and bring your Bible, and you talk with me about this issue of a pastoral role and the role of the pastor in the church and leadership. I would love for you to talk with me on that. Okay? Not that we won't have different opinions, but I want you to nail me down in the Scripture. I want to see it. Would you show it to me? I'll guarantee it, you're going to find over and over and over and over again the position of people in church is to serve. But this is how we're supposed to be like this. Can I help you? Say, is something I can do for you? The Lord's blessed me with this much money. You know why I want to give it? Not so I can have control, but because this is what the Bible says I should do. I should give a tithe. Why? Because He said if I don't, I'll be cursed with a curse. He says also, if I do it, I'll bless you. But when we somehow assume and take our position or our education or our money and we try to lord it over the church, it's a problem. Are y'all with me? Are y'all understanding? Am I talking spooky talk? Are y'all hearing? Okay. Praise the Lord. I mean, I know this ain't no yee-haw message, but this is what Satan does. He wants to attack. Here's what power plays and power grabs and power kicks do to the body of Christ. Here's what power plays, power grabs, power kicks do to the body of believers. Look at the church at Laodicea in Revelation 3:14. Unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things says the Amen, Jesus speaking, the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. What happens when a church wants power? They become powerless. Are you hearing me? Look, he said, I know your works. You're neither cold nor hot. I would that you were cold or hot. When a church body or a body of believers inside that church body start grasping for power, the church in time will become powerless. I believe that with all my heart. It can become poisoned. Revelation 3:16, so then because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew you out of my mouth. To God says this kind of attitude is poison. Matter of fact, here's a fancy P word. It is puke. Because that's what God says it makes me do, just puke. Number 3, poor. They become poor. Look at it. Because you say, I'm rich. This church had all kinds of money. I'm increased with goods. I have need of nothing. The Lord says this, know not that you're wretched, you're miserable, you're poor, you're blind, you're naked. You're in poverty. What is it that we would prefer here at Fellowship Church? Here's what I would prefer. If it meant that we never had any money or any funds to do any building or anything like that, but that we could win souls to Jesus Christ, every Sunday we could see people come to Christ and know Jesus as their Savior, I'll take that any day of the week, my friend. I'll take that any day of the week, you know? It's what I want. That's when you're rich. That doesn't mean you can't do both. I think you can do both. But I tell you what, we spend a lot of money here on resources. We spend a lot of money here on getting the Word of God out to this community. We could probably, there are some opinions probably here in this body that would say, you don't need to spend so much money. You don't need to give away donuts. You don't need to give away magnets on the back of the car. By the way, we got some new magnets today, and we got about 10 of them, and they're free, baby. Did they cost us money? Oh, yeah. Sure enough, they're about $5 a piece. But guess what? Isn't that great if somebody follows that to church or comes to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior? That's what it's about, my friend. But some might think you shouldn't spend. We've actually heard that here before. It's like water off a duck's back because we're not listening. Amen? We're not listening. We're going to keep spending wisely as much as we can to get the gospel out. Amen? Some people say, why do you sell t-shirts for $5 when they cost you $7? Because what's $2, man? It's $2 to get the gospel out and put a t-shirt on you. Matter of fact, if you don't have any money today and there's a t-shirt on the back table, take one for free. Amen? We just ask that you wear it. It's all about getting the word out. That's what it's about here. I know I get off a little bit. I can't help but get off on this message some. Revelation 3:18, the ministry becomes pointless. If we're just meeting on Sunday, and what we do doesn't really matter, affect lives during the week and our lives and things like that, this becomes a pointless ministry. I don't want to have anything to do with something like that. He says, I counsel you to buy of me gold tried in the fire, not wood, hay, stubble, that thou may be rich in white raiment, that you may be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness doth not appear, and anoint your eyes with eye salve that thou mayest see. We need to do works here that are going to prove to honor the Lord and to glorify the Lord. And only those works that are done out of humility and honor and service are going to amount to anything for God. Power struggles. Let's keep looking. We're done this morning with this last section of the message. We ain't done right this second. Hang on. So where can we get the real power to serve and live the Lord from? Amen? I've cracked on it a lot this morning, so where can we get the real deal from, preacher? Where can we get the real power to serve the Lord and live for the Lord? Back to 1 Corinthians, our little book that we started out on. Say this verse with me if you don't mind. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. There's three things this verse says that will help you have power. You want it? Say, you want some power today? Amen? You want the real power or that power you grasp at? You want the real power or something that's manufactured in your mind or that you can figure out? Do you want something that's from God Almighty that'll change your life? Say, here's the real power. This is what Clark wants. This is what the Bible says. That verse started out saying, therefore, my beloved brother. Anytime you see therefore in a verse, you need to ask this question, what is it there for? What is it there for? It means what you just read or the passage before or the chapter before is what it takes to get what's in that verse. Be steadfast. Be unmovable. Be abounding. Well, that's all nice and fancy, but how do I do it? Well, look back, and that's what we're doing. Be steadfast. How am I steadfast? Through the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Would you say that with me? How am I steadfast? Through the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Pop the scripture up. Here it is. Back in this chapter 15. For I delivered unto you first of all that which also I received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. Watch it. Verse 4. And that he was buried and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. Listen to me. If you want this inner power to serve Jesus Christ, if you want this inner power that no one can take away from you, it comes through the gospel of Jesus Christ. It comes through being saved. Do you understand that? So many people see the church, and I'm sure the church is full of people that are in positions of leadership that aren't born again. It's something they desire. They see this. They want this. It's something they crave. It's weird, man. Let me tell you, you can't manufacture this inner stuff inside of you. That comes through the saving power of Jesus Christ. And I ask you today, have you been saved? Do you know Christ? Do you believe that He was buried? Do you believe that on the third day He rose from the grave? Have you accepted Him as your Lord and Savior? Have you done that? That's where the inner power comes from. You might think I'm crazy. Guess what? Before I became a Christian, I never jumped around like this or anything. That's the inner power, amen. I believe what I preach. I believe Jesus Christ lived. I believe Jesus Christ came. I believe He died on the cross. I believe He rose from the dead. He changed my life. My sins are gone. Heaven's my home one day. I have the Holy Spirit of the living God living inside of me. Why? Because I just know so. The Bible tells me it's that way, and I have a changed life to prove it. Are you hearing me today? That inner power comes through the gospel. Well, I don't believe in that being saved in blood of Jesus on the cross. Then you're up a big creek, baby. Because that's where it comes from, right there. That inner power. The gospel of Jesus Christ. How about this verse? Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For it is what? The power of God unto salvation. To the Jews first, but also to the Greeks. What about this verse? John 1:12. But as many as received Him, Jesus Christ, to them gave He the what? Power. It's an inner power that you can have. Friend, I want that much more than somebody telling me I'm in charge of this, that, or the other. Give me that any day. Give me the power, baby. That's what I want. The power to know I'm saved. Power to know when my head hits that pillow at night. Gary Clark, let me tell you something. If you don't wake up in the morning, you with me, buddy. That's awesome. I love that. Next thing. Be unmovable. That's that outer power. I know this is a little hanging here with me. It's a tough message. Outer power. What am I talking about now? What's that verse talking about? It's talking about a power to deal with things on the outside, things that come against you. How do you do that? Look at it. It comes through the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Listen, Jesus rose from the dead. You have life in Him now. You're going to rise one day too. Hallelujah. What hell can come against you that you can't handle? I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. Amen? He's alive. You've got a power that can stand against all kinds of things that come against you. Here's what the Bible says. How do we know we have this power? Chapter 15, there were many eyewitnesses. He was seen of Cephas or Peter and the 12. After that, He was seen of 500 brethren. That ought to encourage you today. The greater part remained alive when this was written. Some had died. Verse 7, after all, He was seen of James, then all the apostles. And Paul says, and last of all, He was seen of me as one born out of due time. There are eyewitnesses to the resurrection. You need to know that you have resurrection power. Are you hearing me today? I think some of you I got like in spooky land with you. Read your Bible. Start reading your Bible. Start seeing this kind of stuff. And you might wonder, why am I walking down in the dumps? Why am I poor, woe is me? Why am I grasping at this straw or power game or this, that, or the other to try to get validation and make myself feel qualified? Listen, my friend, you have a risen Savior. That should change your life. Has mine. Without the resurrection in your heart, knowing this, there's going to be an emptiness in your life. But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. If Christ is not risen, our preaching is in vain. Your faith also is in vain. If Christ be not raised, your faith is in vain. You're yet in your sins. If in this life we only have hope in Christ, we're of men most miserable. And then finally, the resurrection energizes my spirit. The resurrection of Jesus Christ energizes me and keeps me going. Look at it. But now is Christ risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, hallelujah, look at this, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. I can make it, man. I can do it. I have a power when things come against me. What on this planet can defeat my risen Savior? What? You don't know what I went through at that place. What can defeat a risen Savior? Nothing. Death, hell, and the grave ain't going to defeat that, my friend. You can make it. The last thing is this, be abounding. Be steadfast, be unmovable, be abounding. This is an upper power. This is a power of the Spirit that'll come into your life. How does this come? It comes through the power of the return of Jesus Christ. It comes through the power of the return of Jesus Christ. That's what the passage says. Watch it, verse 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We should not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, the last trump, the trumpet's going to sound. The dead's going to be raised incorruptible. We're going to be changed. Hallelujah. For this corruptible must put on incorruption. This mortal must put on immortality. Verse 54. So when this corruptible puts on incorruption, this mortal puts on immortality, then should be brought to pass the saying, death is swallowed up in victory. Hallelujah. Oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, grave, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. How am I steadfast? Through the power of the gospel. How am I unmovable? Through the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. How can I abound to the good works and serve the Lord with a good attitude? How can I not get caught up in the power game, the power play, the power slop, the power mess, and all this that's so prevalent at church? By having this attitude, this upper power. One day Jesus is coming. Can you say that with me? One day Jesus is coming. And by the way, if you don't believe it, we're going to start next week and we're going to talk about what he said in the last days. One day Jesus is coming, my friend. You ought to let that be part of your daily focus. Listen to me. Here's what the Bible says. 1 John 3:2. Beloved, now we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. Every man that has this hope in him purifies himself even as he is pure. When you and I have a focus on the return of Jesus Christ, it empowers us. It causes us to not get caught up in the crap. Excuse me. Do you hear me? A focus on his return. How can that help me? Look at it. This will help you. Watch this. Jesus could come at any moment. Do you want, if Jesus Christ comes today, you to be at aught with a brother? Say, if Jesus would come today, do you want him to find you in this power struggle thing, mess going on somewhere? I don't. Number two, you're going to receive a new glorified body. Don't we just use that blip on the screen that we have now to be a blessing to others and to glorify Jesus Christ and realize one day we're going to get it all figured out and we'll have all the answers one day and we don't need to fuss and fight and feud and all that kind of mess. You hear me? We'll get a glorified body for eternity. Number three, this should help me to have an upward attitude. Death is done. Can you say that with me? Death is done. That's better than any position I could ever have. Death is done, baby. How about this one? The victory's won. Can you say those last two with me? Death is done and the victory's won. One more time. Death is done and the victory's won. We're done this morning, Raj. Pop it up. What powers you? What powers you? Is it the gospel? You've been saved? Say. Does the resurrection of Jesus Christ mean anything to you? Is it something that happened, it just happened? Or do you live in resurrection power? How about the coming of Jesus Christ? Is it one of those things that we speculate on and watch prophecy shows and listen about it? Or is it a reality because he said he's coming again? And you take it to the bank because he said, if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you, that where I am, there you may be also. Jesus isn't a liar. And he told us things like that to encourage us because the disciples were upset and they were frustrated. He said, let not your hearts be troubled. Amen. It'd be okay. I'm coming back. Do you have that power today? What powers you? D.C., is it divide and conquer? You need to answer that question today. Is it divide and conquer? Is that your attitude? Are you a troublemaker? I know that's ugly. Are you? It'd be great at Fellowship Church if you could say, I'm sick and tired of being that in my life. And I confess it before the Lord. And I want what years I have left, God, to serve you with humility and honor and love you. Why keep the little church hop thing happening? Won't you deal with it, man? Get over it in Jesus' name. I want to be a divine conqueror. Amen? Are you with me? You hearing me? Let's stand together and say this. Come on. Stand together. Come on. Here we go. Woo! I know some of you must think I'm crazy. This is what 22 years in the ministry will do to you. You get a little cuckoo, man, I tell you. I meant it from a heart of love today. There's nothing that we should desire in this place other than a place of service and humility and honoring the Lord. That's what we should desire at Fellowship Church. Do you understand that? And probably as long as I'm the pastor, this is the row I'm going to plow. I'm going to stay down this row. And I know you know, who knows what's going to ever happen to me in my life. But the bottom line is, this is the path I'm on. Loving Jesus Christ and loving people. Loving Jesus Christ and loving people. Let's just get more volunteers, more and more volunteers to do that. And let's see what we can accomplish for Christ. Could you say that right there with me this morning? I am a divine conqueror. Would you tell him that one more time? I am a divine conqueror. Let's tell it. Let's say it one more time. I am a divine conqueror.